And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The reading today in the Old Testament is about Elijah. The first time he ever appeared in the Old Testament was in just a couple of chapters before our reading today. And it said, and Elijah the Tishbite appeared to King Ahab. Love the word Tishbite, don't you? That's like a new software package for young girls. Get a Tishbite. But Elijah was a Tishbite, that's what they called him, because that was the area he was from. And he was a prophet. That means that Elijah spoke the truth. He spoke the word of the Lord to the people. That's what a prophet is. And he prophesied to King Ahab. And he said, King, you're going to go through a drought. It's not going to rain on the earth until I say. And sure enough, everything dried up. And the earth got drier and drier. And the king got desperate and he began to send people out to look for anything they could find for pasture, for the cattle. Any water that they could find anywhere. But King Ahab, if you read the story in 1 and 2 Kings, and I encourage you to read the stories of the Old Testament, they're fascinating stories. King Ahab was the worst offender against God's laws that had ever existed to that moment. He was the worst. He took everything that God wanted and did exactly the opposite. One of the things that he did was really bad was he married a woman named Jezebel. By the way, that name still stands today. We all know what a Jezebel is, and that's exactly why that name means what it means today, because King Ahab married Jezebel, and between the two of them, they began to direct the people of the land to worship a god called Baal and to worship a goddess called Asherah. So Baal and Asherah were these false gods, but there were symbols that were set up in the land. There was the god Baal was signified by golden calves and other symbols, and Asherah was signified by a pole that they erected called an Asherah pole with carvings on it. And the people worshipped these gods, and King Ahab and Jezebel encouraged them to worship these gods. And in fact, these gods had priests and prophets just like like the true and living God that we know. And there were a lot of them. There were a lot of prophets of Baal and a lot of prophets of Asherah. In fact, there were hundreds of them. And so Elijah comes along and says, King Ahab, the people need to follow the true and living God, not these false gods that you've set up. And you and your wife have done evil in the sight of the Lord, and it's not going to rain on the earth until I say. And 3 years later, Elijah appears again, and he had been hunted by Jezebel, and he had been hunted by all of her minions and soldiers, and they went about killing all the prophets of God, and they went about destroying everybody that they could find that was true believer in God. And so Elijah had been in hiding, and Elijah told a servant, he said, okay, now go tell King Ahab I'm going to come, and I'm going to meet with him. And the servant, whose name was Obadiah, said, oh my gosh, I don't want to go, because you know what he's going to do? He's been hunting you. If he sees me, he's going to know that I'm one of your followers and he'll kill me. And Elijah said, no, you go tell him that I want to meet with him. And so Ahab went out to meet with Elijah, and Elijah said, okay, now, so that you know that the Lord is God, it's going to rain on the land. And so Elijah went and he knelt down and he hid himself and he said, okay, Obadiah, are there any clouds yet? Obadiah said, not yet. And so he stayed there and he hid more. He said, any clouds? And Obadiah said, just a little tiny cloud the size of a man's hand over there on the horizon. And Elijah said, okay, you go warn King Ahab right now that he needs to get out of here because it's going to start raining like crazy. And so he ran and warned King Ahab, and King Ahab got on his chariots and they barely beat the storm that formed from that little cloud. It began to rain and pour on the earth, and water was flooding everywhere, and the drought was over. And Elijah thought to himself, I'm sure, well, this ought to prove it. That ought to do it. That ought to convince King Ahab that my God, the true and living God, is the Lord. But King Ahab went home and told Jezebel, and she must have convinced him otherwise. And so Elijah had a tough time. He had a really tough time. He was being hunted down, And he kept getting messages from God that he was to deliver to the king. And so he went into the land and he issued a challenge. He said, I have a challenge for you. I want the prophets of Baal and Asherah. I want 450 of them from Baal and 400 from Asherah to meet me here on the side of this mountain. And we're going to have two altars. And one will be their altar and they can sacrifice on it. And one will be my altar and I will sacrifice on it. And we're going to pray to our gods and see which one answers our prayer. And so these hundreds of prophets and priests of Baal and Asherah gather, and they took two oxen and they prepared them for the sacrifice on the altar. And they took one of the oxen and they put it on their altar. And their priests and prophets of Baal and Asherah began to pray to their gods to come and consume the sacrifice. The big test, you see, was whether the sacrifice would be consumed without any help from us, without any help from people, but that the gods would just take the sacrifice and burn it with fire. And it said, and they danced all day long upon the altar, and nothing happened. And about noon, Elijah started to make fun of them. Maybe your God's sleeping, he said. Or maybe he's taking a break. Just pray a little louder. He was taunting him, making fun of him. Is this your gods? Is this how they respond? And so the priests and prophets of Baal and Asherah began to cut themselves with knives because the shedding of blood would prove to their gods that that was what was going on. They wanted to have their gods answer, and it didn't work. And finally, nightfall came, and Elijah said, okay, that's long enough. You've had your chance. Now it's my turn. And so they took stones, and he began to build the altar of God. He used the stones that Moses had set up on the side of that same mountain many centuries before. And he took those stones and began to build the altar, and he dug a moat around the outside of this altar. And he put on the wood, and he put on the oxen that he had prepared for sacrifice. And then he said, okay, now get jars of water. Get these jars of water and pour it on this altar. And so these priests of Asherah and Baal, they were delighted to pour water on the altar because that would make it a lot harder to burn. So they got 12 jars of water. And he said, pour them on there. And so the altar was filled with water, and the moat around the altar was filled with water. And Elijah stood there and he said, Lord God, show them your glory. And it said, and fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the water, the stones, everything. It consumed it, fire from heaven. And it said, and the people around fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. Your Lord, he is God. And Elijah was like, okay, well, get all these other prophets and priests and let's get them out of here. Get rid of them. And so they did. They captured them all and got rid of them. And so Elijah was very pleased that that had happened. But guess what King Ahab did? He went home and told Jezebel what had happened. You think she was mad before. Now all of her priests and prophets are gone. He's destroyed them all. Now she's really upset, and she's got a lot of people who follow her. And they took off after Elijah, and he took off. He took off through the desert, and for 40 days and 40 nights, does that sound familiar? For 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the wilderness, and he wandered through, and he came to Mount Horeb, called the Sacred Mountain of God. And he went up into a cave on Mount Horeb, and that's where we pick up the story in our reading today of the Old Testament. And God asked Elijah a question. He asked him this. What are you doing here, Elijah? No, not what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you hiding out in a cave? Because I told you, God had told Elijah to go somewhere else and do something else, but Elijah took off and ran and hid because he was being hunted down. And Elijah said, look, I've been good. And I've done everything you've asked me to do. I've been full of zeal and excitement, and you've given me a lot of power and glory. And the demonstration of your power has been great. But the people of Israel, they tore down your temple. They erected their own temples, and they put up their own things, and they worship false gods, and they're not changing, Lord. They're not changing. And the God said, okay, I want you to go right outside the cave and stand at the entrance to the cave. And so he went near the entrance, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake, and the earth shook, and it said, but God was not in the earthquake. Isn't that a, did you hear that this morning? I said, okay, what's going on now? God, okay, all right. Then there was a whirlwind, like a tornado, but God was not in the whirlwind. And then it said, and fire came, but God was not in the fire. And then all of a sudden there was a very, very small voice, a whisper. And suddenly Elijah went towards the mouth of the cave, and it said, and he put his cloak over his eyes because he realized that's God. That whisper, that's the voice of the Lord. And so then the Lord asked him again, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he repeated exactly the same thing. If you listen to the reading this morning, he says it twice, exactly the same way. I've been good, and the people of the land have worshipped other gods and gone their own wicked ways and tore down your temples and killed your prophets, and I'm the only one left, said Elijah. God said, okay, first of all, you're not the only one left. I've reserved 7,000 people who have not bowed their knees to Baal and not kissed him. They're not devoted to Baal. And second of all, I'm going to take care of things. I'm going to take care of things, Elijah. And if you read, like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, if you read the rest of the story of 1 and 2 Kings and the story of Elijah and Elisha and the whole bit, it's fascinating because from that time on, Elijah seemed like he caught fire even more than he had before. His zeal and enthusiasm multiplied. Now, I preached right past my notes here, so give me a minute while I catch up to Ryan. God was speaking to Elijah in a very quiet, small voice. So rather than the extraordinary events happening all around, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, God spoke in the voice so still that you could almost miss it. In fact, Elijah was looking for the glory and almost missed the voice of God, and there it was. And he realized that that was God and covered himself. He said, I can't look upon the face of the Lord. And God had told him what to do. And he went and did it. He obeyed the voice, the small voice that he heard. And now we come to the Mount of Transfiguration. The gospel lesson. Tradition says it's the same mountain. And Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his three favorites. You remember reading in the gospels how Peter, James, and John seemed to get in on a lot of things that the other disciples didn't. He took Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain with him. And they saw the heavens open and Jesus' clothing turned so white, they said that even Clorox couldn't make it that white. No launderer in the world could make his clothing glow like this. And they saw who talking to Jesus? Moses and Elijah, the guy I was just talking about. They're up there and Jesus and Moses and Elijah are having a conversation and the three disciples are completely awestruck and they fell on their face. They were terrified. Have you ever been terrified? They were terrified. This is a light from heaven and the heaven opens up and all of a sudden we see the prophets. And we see Jesus talking with them. A whole world opened up to the disciples. My gosh, there is an afterlife. There is a heaven because these guys are alive. And look at this, the brightness, the glory of Jesus. We're here. Peter said, we got to stay here. I'm going to build some houses, at least tents, Lord. Let's put up some tents, three of them. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. We're going to stay here and experience this all the days of our lives. We don't want to come down off the mountain. He blurted out what came to his mind. He said, it's good that we're here. It's good that we're here. We don't have to go back down to the world, Jesus. They haven't been treating you very well down there. Didn't you notice that, Jesus? Peter said. We can build houses and stay right here. We can bask in the glory of the moment. The mundane life down there with all the problems, that doesn't satisfy us. This satisfied us. This satisfies us, and it gives us a sense of miracles and of glory. Can we stay there, Lord? Can you gratify our senses a little bit more for a little longer? And God spoke to them and told them the same thing he told Elijah, if you think about it. This is my son. Listen to him. You're looking for the glory? Here he is. Where's Jesus right now? I'm asking you, all of you, where's Jesus right now? See, he lives in, doesn't he? He lives in us. This is my son. Listen to him. I know sometimes I don't want to have to go back down to the world. Things happen. Life goes on. The world turns. And everything that was set in motion for lo these many years keep going. And life and death happens. And we say, God, we don't like this. God says, I'm not in that. It happens, but I'm not in that. You want to hear from me? This is my beloved son. Listen to him. But God, look at this whirlwind going on in my life. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. In a whisper, in a voice that comes on the inside. But God, I want excitement. I want zeal. I want enthusiasm. I want to stay on that mountain. My life is so mundane and so ordinary, and I'm bored and I'm lonely. And Jesus said, no, you're not. God says, you're not. This is my beloved son. And where is he right now? He's living within you. Listen to him. You will go back down from the mountain. You will listen and follow Jesus, and you will learn to bask in the ordinary, the humble, the mundane, the life that I've given you. You're going to learn to live, and you're going to learn that a simple prayer that glorifies God. Let me say that again. You're going to learn that a simple prayer that glorifies God and not you can turn the world around. But if you're looking for that glory in you or in the events of your life, listen to him, because he says the same message to us that he said to his disciples. And by the way, that lesson worked for Peter and James and John. They were three of the most powerful disciples that went out from Jesus' presence. They couldn't go back up into the mountains with him after that. When he ascended into heaven, they stood and watched him as he ascended. And the angel said, why are you watching? Why are you looking into the heavens? Go and do what he told you to do. I know you want to be up there, but go and do what he told you to do. Can you do that? Can you say to Jesus, I'll just go and do what you told me to do? I'm not going to judge my life by all the things that happen all the time and put you in those things. I'm going to put you where you are, Jesus. I'm going to listen to you from where you speak. The disciples had to live everyday life knowing that it is in the still and small voice within that he speaks and he appears to us. If God doesn't live inside, if God doesn't live inside of you by the Holy Spirit, but you only recognize him on the outside as a concept. Yeah, I believe in God. There is a supreme being, I believe. Then you get disappointed because you can't see him on the outside. And everything argues against him in your life. But if you know the living God on the inside, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, then what happens on the outside becomes irrelevant. It becomes irrelevant. And all of your life goes on. And you have this blessed assurance that inside of me is that still small voice. Whether I'm on the mountaintop or crawling from the gates of hell, that small voice is there saying, I'm with you. I'll never leave. I love you. That's the voice of the Lord. Listen to it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.